Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship starts at 8:30. UCC of California worship starts at 10:30, and you can still catch us online each Sunday morning at www.calmo-ucc.org. This Sunday, we continue our sermon series, Pop Quiz, as we continue to look at what a disciple of Jesus should look like. We will be in Colossians 3 to see what clothes a Christian should wear in their daily lives. If you want to know what the Christian life is all about, this is your chapter. Mark it in your Bible, read it several times each year, and you'll begin to see what our lives are to be as Christians. It's a lifelong pursuit for sure, but one that must happen for the church to be what Christ wants it to be. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." When you wonder how you're going to make it another day, read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's God, His Holy Spirit, that helps us each day when we don't know if we can make it through another one. Repeat those words, renewed day by day, and see what happens. May God bless you with His grace and strength today. Thank you for listening.
This is a very special time of hope because it's highlights from our service last week, which was led by the young people in our church. Jackson Castle leads in our call to worship.
Would you join me in the call to worship? On this new morning and every moment of our lives, gracious God, from generation to generation, we praise your holy name. For we have seen your deeds of power and witnessed your goodness in our lives.
Brother Kestner leads our prayer for the day.
Please join me in the prayer of the day. Eternal God, let the fire of your Holy Spirit lead us today. We are your children. We are your holy church. Teach us your glorious praise. Guide us, grow up faith, hope, and love. Lead us in paths of righteousness and peace. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Alan and Kaylin Kruger read our scriptures.
The first reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete.
The second reading comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Sermon, pop quiz, are you ready to win? Based on Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, is presented by a number of our congregation's young people, including Elizabeth Ash, Garrett Berger, Ross Deacon, Lauren Spillers, Riley Hess, Peter Damp, and DJ Snyder.
Good morning. So we're going to start off with a president's quiz. So who was the first president to hold a press conference on television? Is anybody? That was John F. Kennedy. The only president to be unanimously elected by the Electoral College? Yep. So what about the only president to be elected four times? Yep. The first president to be born in a hospital. This is Jimmy Carter. So what about the president who got stuck in the White House bathtub? That was William H. Taft. So, we're going to start out by reading Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And so, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers, the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with the prayer and supplication of the Lord, of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So today I'd like to talk about the armor of God and what the pieces represent. When I think of certain pieces of the armor of God, I can relate a lot back to my football equipment. Most importantly, it is important for the meaning behind each piece of equipment. The belt of truth I see as I put on every morning to keep my outfit together. The belt of truth represents Satan fighting with lies, and sometimes his lies sound like the truth. Only believers have God's truth, defeating Satan's lies. The breastplate of righteousness I can relate back to my shoulder pads, protecting me. The devil usually attacks our hearts, with God's breastplate protecting us from his evil, showing his approval of love. The footgear, that is the readiness to spread the good news. I relate this back to my cleats, where Satan is trying to use this to think that we are telling others the good news is worthless and a hopeless task. God helps to spread the word and gives us news that we need to hear. The shield of faith I represent as all of the padding that I wear to protect me from getting hurt. Satan attacks in forms of insults, setbacks, and temptations, but with God's perspective, we see farther into circumstances, seeing the ultimate victory. The helmet of salvation is represented by my football helmet that protects me from injury. Satan wants to make us doubt God, but the helmet helps protect us from doubting God and saving us work. Finally, the sword of truth, represented by the force and the work we put in on the football field to defend our end zone. The Lord uses truth as our only offense in the list of armor. When we are tempted by Satan, we need to trust in God's word.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Riley Hess, and today I will be covering the belt of truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with having truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." The very first piece of our protective covering is truth. It held other weapons and kept his outer garments in place. To put on the belt of truth can be understood as accepting the truth of the Bible and choosing to follow it with integrity. We are instructed to have our loins girt about with truth, for without the gospel of truth, which comes from above, we believe a lie. Messiah is depicted as wearing the belt of righteousness around his loins and faithfulness as the belt around his waist. The verb tense, having girded, indicates the soldier put his armor on before he even took the field to battle. Without the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ, we are dead in our sins and condemned to an eternity without God. Truth, fidelity, consistency, sincerity, and action, and character becomes the fundamental and spiritual reality. We are to know the truth that comes from God, for the truth will set us free. Truth is the gift from God that was personified in Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. The breastplate was a heavy metal plate that was worn as a vestment not only by Jewish soldiers, but also by Jewish high priests. The priest's breastplate had 12 gems bearing the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The breastplate of righteousness of man, but righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, is very strong and effective against every attack to our hearts. The enemy has no weapon effective against the breastplate of Jesus' righteousness. Our hearts and vital organs find great solace and comfort in the breastplate of Jesus' armor. Any arrow of the enemy that might hit our breastplate is none effect. I have learned that when playing volleyball and basketball, I need the proper equipment to keep me safe when I'm playing games. Does God give us advice in what in life on what to wear? And the answer is no, he doesn't give us fashion advice, but something much more important to help us win the most important victory ever. We thus fix securely the safety of the believer's heart. Our hearts are protected, covered, maintained from injury and destruction. The transplanted heart of Christ Jesus is guarded very well by God's armor. Christ is our living head, and we are clothed in his own perfect righteousness and declared to be holy before God by faith within him. We are to maintain the pure covering of Christ's own perfect purity, for it is only as we perform a practical righteousness and the power of the Holy Spirit that we become impregnable to fiery darts of the enemy. Let us hold fast to the truth of the glorious gospel of grace that was once delivered to the saints, and stand firm under the covering of Christ's purity wherewith we are clothed by faith. Therefore, let us take up the full armor of God so that we will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, we will be able to stand.
Hello, my name is Peter Danf, and this morning I will be telling you about the breastplate of righteousness as found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. The definition of righteousness is acting in accord with divine or moral law, and to feel free from guilt or sin. What this means to me is righteousness is a subconscious feeling, and these feelings can become stronger or weaker based on the things around us. For instance, one time I got Grace in trouble for something that wasn't her fault, and I felt really guilty and terrible about it. That feeling made me never want to get her in trouble for something she didn't do again, because it was wrong. God knows we're going to mess up and make mistakes, and righteousness is where we learn from those mistakes so we can feel free from that guilt and know every day that we try our best to do the right thing. I'll be honest, I didn't completely understand what the breastplate of righteousness meant when I was asked to write about it, and that's why I want to start off with what righteousness means to me. I don't have a breastplate, but I do have shoulder pads for football. And a lot like my football pads, a breastplate protects your chest. A breastplate was there to protect your other vital organs all the way down to your torso. This protects the main part of your body and is one of the most important pieces of armor. Without something protecting your heart, it's sure to be the target of all your enemies. Your heart is the most vital organ physically and spiritually. Your heart is what keeps your blood moving and your faith rooted. This is why it's so important to protect your heart, as Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." If we have the armor of God on and the breastplate of righteousness protecting our hearts, then the devil's attacks will be futile. With the heart protected and the rest of God's armor equipped, we can be protected from sin and do what Jesus wants us to. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your mind." As we put on the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness, we keep our hearts pure from the attacks of sin trying to get to us. The breastplate of righteousness also assures us that when the devil accuses us of sin, it's God's righteousness that reassures us of our salvation. Righteousness is a very important aspect to us as Christians, because with every decision we make, we ask ourselves if it's the right thing to do. Whether it's a simple decision or you have to think about it, that decision is still made. If we were second-guessing what we do as Christians all the time, we would never do anything. There's not always a clear right and wrong, and sometimes we make the wrong decision, but we have to stay strong in our faith and trust God. Righteousness is an attribute given to us by God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "And found in him, not having a righteousness derived from the law, but which is made through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." This is something that we can't control. Righteousness is something we are, and not something we do. With the presence of God and our armor equipped, it's that which affects the choices we make. Some of the breastplates that were worn by Roman soldiers were usually decorated and made to look attractive so they could be shown off. In fact, high-ranking soldiers had two different breastplates. One they wore to battle to protect them from the dangers around them, as they were to never come off at any time during the battle. We must keep our breastplates on always, since we are always at war with sin. Our breastplate of righteousness should never come off. The other breastplate is the one worn to show everybody, or to show to everybody, and show everyone else why they fight in this ongoing battle.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is DJ Schneider, and I'm going to be discussing defeat with the gospel of peace. The Roman soldiers wore sandals to help them get more grip and be faster during battle. Paul pictured these shoes as the readiness given by the gospel of peace. He said this because the sandals for the soldiers was like the gospel of peace for the believers. The sandals prepared the soldiers to run in a battle, while likewise, the gospel of peace prepared believers for the world and to show them the way to the Lord. When I read this text, I think about it in my daily life. While in my daily life, I wear cleats in most of my sports, as well as a lot of people do. So when we are wearing cleats or special shoes for whatever sport we're in, we are using them to help us get more grip and go faster and harder. The Roman soldiers' sandals did the same thing for them, and the gospel of peace does the same thing for the believers. So use the gospel and prepare yourself for the world, just as you would lace your shoes up before a game. Always remember, God is with you always, and one day the gospel of peace will prepare you to be with Him and your loved ones.
Hi, for those of you who may not know me, I'm Ross Deacon, and my part of the sermon is over the shield of faith. The shield of faith is inspired from the Trojan warriors using them to defend themselves against enemies in battle. Now, I hope that none of us ever have to use a 4 feet long and 2.5 feet wide shield to defend ourselves in battle, ever. But I do hope that you will use your shield of faith to protect yourself from the enemy. But you have to have faith in order to fully protect yourself, and you do that by acting in your faith, as Abraham did by leaving Mesopotamia because God told him to do so to create a new nation called Canaan. This next part of the sermon I ended up rewriting 5 times because, one, I'm awful at writing and public speaking, but here we are. And the second is because it took me a little to understand what I was even writing about. But I think I got it right this time, maybe. I always thought that you would use your shield of faith in certain places, like at church or when you're fighting against sin. I realize now that that was wrong, because as long as you keep your faith, your shield will always be up. And a really good comparison for this is in a sport. There are tons of examples of shields in sports, like pads are a shield for your body in football, and helmets are a shield for your head in baseball. But for volleyball, we don't really have helmets or pads to shield us. All we have are our hands. If the ball is about to hit the ground, you use your hands to dig it up. And if an attacker is about to hit, you use your hands to block the attack. Even if a ball is heading straight towards your face, I'd hope we'd all use our hands to defend ourselves. The shield of faith does the same thing that your hands do in volleyball. It protects you. But the shield of faith protects you from the enemy known as the devil. But you have to have faith. No, but to have a shield of faith, you must have faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." The reward of that God gives you for trusting Him is protecting you from the enemy with your faith. So I ask you to take your shield wherever you go. Even when you're tired or overwhelmed, remember to have it up. The enemy is everywhere we go. There is no hiding from it. But if we are true to our faith, the enemy can never hurt us.
My name is Lauren Spillers, and my part of the sermon is over the helmet of salvation. The helmets the Romans wore protected their heads when they went into battle. A Roman soldier's helmet was made of bronze, gold, or steel, and mainly protected the brain. They needed their brains for quick decision-making, just as us kids do when we play sports. My helmet I wear for softball identifies which team I play for. I wear a helmet when I bat and run the bases to protect myself from head injuries. When I get a chance to steal second and the catcher tries to throw me out, I'd rather have my helmet on than take the risk of getting hit in the head. This past week, the catcher for my high school team hit a double, and when the center fielder threw the ball back in, it hit her in the back of her helmet on accident. Without her helmet, she could have had a concussion. I also remember seeing and being in the situation where a runner is at third, the catcher throws the ball down to try and pick her off, and the ball bounces off her helmet away from the opposing team. And because of this, the runner can get home and score. When wearing the helmet of salvation, the word of Satan bounces off, just like a ball. Having a quality helmet will ensure safety and protection when you need it most. The NFL and other pro sports want the best protection for their players' heads so they can keep playing the game at a fast pace. Getting hit in the head can damage the ability to make the right decision or make a quick decision. Some effects are only short-term, but others can be long-term or even for life. Continuously making the wrong decisions in life is like choosing not to wear a helmet in a game, or for the Romans, choosing not to wear a helmet when going into battle. It's a risk that could hurt you, and in the Romans' case, it could be fatal. Our minds are one of the most important parts of our bodies. God's word is our helmet. Salvation through Jesus gives us a new way of thinking and protects us from Satan's attacks and temptations. Matthew 22:37 says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." God watches over us and protects our decision-making. Choosing not to listen to God and following the wrong path puts us at risk. The helmet of salvation protects our minds from doubts about our faith and Jesus. Because of our salvation in Jesus, we are protected from evil forces and we are protected for eternity.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Ash, and our last piece of the armor of God is the sword of spirit. The verse that talks about the sword of spirit comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. In this verse, Paul talks about how we only need one strong weapon, not a multitude of weapons, to meet our needs. That one weapon, the sword of the spirit, is ultimately the word of God. The sword comes in all different forms, and I have some examples. This might be what you're thinking of when you hear the words sword of spirit, but it's actually not. The sword of spirit comes in forms of the Bible and this little devotional book, so it's easy to carry along with you and take with you wherever you go. It also comes in forms of prayer, worship, and just reading scripture. The word of God is very powerful. It is all around us, and it is easy to carry with us. Yet, we take it for granted without intending to. The Bible, which contains the word of God, can help us through all the ups and downs in life. The word of God can get us through the grief we have after losing a loved one, or it can help us through any sin one has fallen into. When facing certain challenges, our first reaction should be to pray and read the Word of God. Not only will it fill our hearts, there will be answers to any questions you might have. Personally, I find myself either praying or reading scripture before a big test for school, or even when I'm missing a family member. As a teenager who participates in sports, I'm so thankful for having a team of other young women who share the want to pray just as much as myself. As a team, we never feel obligated to pray, but we look at prayer as a comfort and calming solution for the challenges we know we're about to face, whether that is before a halftime performance at a home football game or playing an equally as talented team in basketball. I even pray when I'm standing at the starting line for a race during track. Many of you may know my oldest brother, Dylan, is in the Navy. That comes with months of not seeing each other in person and a very small amount of time off for him. Although it is tough and most people go through missing loved ones, I found that reading scripture always gets me through the long months and sleepless nights that come from the worry and fear we have that a family member is safe. Another incident, probably most of you heard in the newspaper, was the time I managed to drive my car through a low water bridge during a flash flood. I was with two very close friends, and thankfully, my car did not get swept from that bridge, or it would have potentially cost all three of our lives. We sat there on the phone with a dispatcher for almost 30 minutes, and the entire time we prayed that we would make it out in one piece, and we did. The impact prayer and scripture has had on me through my entire life, and even in the past several months through this pandemic, has been an astonishing experience. I may not always go read my Bible and pray at every single challenge I face, but when I do, the outcome has been unforgettable. The sword of spirit is the strongest weapon you can obtain and the only weapon you will need when used purposefully.
As you can see, the armor of God is very important in our everyday lives. We cannot forget any piece of our armor. We need to be able to trust in the Lord at any given time, as for his armor is protecting us from all of the bad that Satan is tempting to put into our everyday lives. He shows us that he is doing all he can to save us and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. As it says in Isaiah 40:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
Our special music is Blessed Assurance by Maddie Sedgwick.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born in His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending spring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amelia Motley leads us in the Apostles' Creed.
Christians, what do you believe?
Elizabeth Ash leads our prayer of intercession. Lauren Frederick closes our service with a benediction.
Will you please bow your head for prayer? May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forever. Amen.